Amen. Let's be seated. This is Resurrection Day. We are celebrating. Believers all over the world are celebrating not only his death, but his resurrection. And today I'm just going to speak for a few minutes on the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. In Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to read from verse 7 through verse 14. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the entrance of your word gives light. Glorify thyself as always, and show the light of the excellency of thy word, even in our souls this morning, that we may rejoice in the knowledge of the power of your resurrection. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and that I may be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And that I may know him, Jesus the Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful text? Last week we talked about the prize. See, the price you have to pay to get the prize. See? And in here he's talking about the prize of his high calling. But today, we're going to talk about the power of his resurrection and what it means to us. See? What does that resurrection mean to us? See? What is it that Christ did? So we need to remind ourselves of these things. But sometimes we forget. So I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 4. And I'm going to read verse 25. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. This verse summarizes what he did. We can preach a whole sermon on it, but it's condensed into this verse. He said, he, Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses. Delivered means he was given up. God gave him up for our offenses, for all our sins, all our trespasses, all of the things that we've done wrong. Jesus was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification. The Bible says, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your faith will be in vain. Now the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, deals with the resurrection. The fact that if Jesus had not risen from the dead, our faith would be in vain. Now all over the world today, people are celebrating. Now listen to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to read just a few verses. The chapter is very long, so we're not going to read all of it. I'm going to read that verse 13. Now, some people were saying that Christ did not rise from the dead and so forth like that. You know. So that's why Paul wrote this. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, see, he's making an argument here. If you say the dead are not raised, in other words, once you come to this world and you die, that's the end of it. Then, if that's the case, then Christ himself was not raised. That's the argument that Paul is raising here. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ himself not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. See, that's if Christ is not risen. And it says, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Because all the other people, they are doing anything they want. See? And if we who say that we are believers, if we don't really believe in the resurrection of the dead, then, you know, we are really of all men most miserable. Because what is our gain then? But now is Christ risen from the dead. And he is become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, also by man came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. How many of you say praise the Lord? See, Adam, he made all of us to die. See, and, you know, that's why all the sin came into the world. We all know that story. But Jesus, he came and he rolled back. He was like, he rolled back time. See, as if it never happened. It's like he went before, it's like he took us to back before the fall, as if it never happened. He erased it. Praise ye the Lord. But it's only for those that receive it. See, as many as receive him, he gave the power, see, to become the sons of God. And he erased all of that. And we're going to be talking about that this morning. That's what I'm going to be talking about this morning. You know, what Jesus, what he did for us, and what that all means. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53, if you will. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, and I'm going to read from verses 3 through 6. Or 3 through 5. He's talking about Jesus, the Lamb of God. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Has he borne your griefs? Has he carried your sorrows? Or are you still halfway holding on to them instead of letting Christ carry those sorrows and those griefs? He has borne our griefs, and he has carried our sorrows. And we did esteem him stricken. He was smitten of God and afflicted for our sakes. It wasn't because of his own sins. He did it for us. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Amen. How many of you believe that Jesus' stripes already paid for your healing this morning? I'm going to challenge us this morning, you know, when I'm done speaking in a few minutes. If there's any sickness or any disease, that's deepness and the disease and everything that we need, it's already paid for. See, God, he's already healed it. See, Jesus cannot do anything more for our salvation, for our total complete deliverance, because he hung upon the cross and he said, it is finished. He signed it, he sealed it, and he delivered it unto us. It is finished. He cannot do anything more about that. It's done. See, and when he went into the grave, everybody sorrowed. See, the disciples and everybody, and they sorrowed. See, and even the day that he was supposed to rise from the dead, because Jesus always predicted that. He spoke it by faith so many times. He said, hey, destroy this body in 3 days, I'll raise it from the dead. You see, and he said it, and they crucified him because of that, because they thought he was talking about the temple and blaspheming the temple and so forth. He's talking about his body. See. And when he rose from the dead, the disciples still didn't know it, some of them. See, they didn't know that he had done it. But just like he said, he would. He did. He not only went to down into the grave, he went all over hell and whooped the devil. Amen. He stripped him of the power that he had. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and yea, I am alive forevermore. Revelation 1 verse 18. And I have the keys of hell and death, which the devil thought he had, but I got it from him. And last week we preached how Jesus, he got that price. See, it's called a pearl of great price. He got the gold. See, he went for the gold and he got it. See, he got it. And because he did, that's why we are all here today. How many of you say praise the Lord? Sure. He did, he finished it, and it is done. And in Revelation chapter 5, and you've heard me in this church refer to that scripture all the time, because it means the whole world to me. Because John, he couldn't find anybody else. There was nobody qualified to save you. And so there's nobody qualified to judge you either. How many of you say praise the Lord? That's right. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is Christ that died. See? And it is Christ that also justifies you. There is now therefore no more condemnation for you if you are in Christ Jesus. How many of you can give the Lord a hand clap for that? Sure. Amen. That's right. Now the people, they like to condemn you, see. But see, there is no more condemnation for you if you are in Christ Jesus. That's in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. We're going to read a story this morning, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And again, you heard me say it so many times in this church. But I want you to turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 15. And that's where I'm going to preach from this morning. This story is a good story. I like it. I love to read the stories, the parables that Jesus told. See? Because they always bring out some incredible insight. Remember, Jesus, he is the Lord. And see, when he tells his parables, he isn't just playing with words. See, he knows exactly what he's talking about, and he's bringing out a point. Most of the time, there's always some point that he's bringing out when he sees the condition of the people and so forth, then he brings out a parable, see, to tell them. Now, so this parable, many of you have heard this parable, and you've also heard me say so many different times and so forth like that. But this is the parable which the Bible calls the prodigal son. See? And the Bible commentators call it the prodigal son parable. And it starts in Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. And I know we've all read it, but I want you to just pay attention for a few minutes to this parable. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. If you have your Bible, please turn with me. Luke 15 and 11. And Jesus said unto them, a certain man had two sons. Now, but what do you think led to this parable before Jesus said it? Because he was talking about a number of things. He was even talking about, he said, if a woman having 10 pieces of silver, that's in verse 8 of the same chapter, if she loses one of them, does she not light a candle and sweep the whole house and seek diligently until she finds it? See? And I said to you one time in this church, and I asked, and I'm going to ask the question again, and those of you who are parents, and you have children. Let's say you have 3 or 4 or 5 children. You know, many of us have multiple children, and we bless the name of the Lord for that. Now, should one of your children be missing? You see, God forbid. But let's say one of the children is missing. Are you going to say, well, I've got 4 kids. What does it matter? One of them is missing. I'll just go on about my merry business. Does anybody do that? I can't hear in church. I don't believe anybody in their right mind will do that. Everybody will agonize. They go to the news. They could, you know, get friends from their, you know, neighbors. They do a search, you know, and so on and so forth. They are relentless until they find that child. And they don't ever give up, especially the mother. See, she'll never give up. Amen. God bless the mothers because they don't give up. Praise in the name of the Lord. See, and so he told the story, and he said when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors, and she rejoices and so forth. And he said in verse 10 of Luke 15, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. So to, if you will, buttress the point, now he tells this parable that I'm about to read. A certain man had two sons, Luke 15 and 11. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them. And after many days, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Notice, he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his fields to feed the swine, that's pigs. And he would have fain even filled his belly with the husks that were meant for the swine, but nobody gave to him. And he would have gladly eaten the pigs' food. That's how bad his condition was. See? But nobody would even allow him to do that. See? He had gone to the level where he would even steal some of the food for the pigs to eat it. But he'd get in trouble if he did. And nobody would even allow him. That's how bad he was, his condition. And after many days, all of these things happened. And look at verse 17. And when he came to himself, praise the Lord. See, he came to himself. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare and all of these things? And I perish of hunger. I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say unto him, I have sinned before heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy. See, notice, he thought he was no longer worthy. See, he said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son because I've been in sin and all of this. Now, he repented. See, he repented. If he would have stayed in his condition, he would not have gotten the embrace that we're about to read. But he did repent. He came to himself and he went back to his father and he arose and he came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father said, shh. And he turned around. He said, everything's going to be all right. You're back home now. Don't you worry about nothing. And he said, hey, he called the servants. He said, I'm going to make merry now. My son is back. I'm going to make merry. Give me the father car. And make the feast. And do all of these things. And make merry and so forth. Bring me, put on him. Bring me my signet. My ring of authority. And put it on his finger. He said, he did all of that, yes. And when he was doing all that, you know, he says, what's the reason for doing all that? Verse 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And he began, see, all of them, they began to make merry. They began to rejoice. Now, this is Jesus telling this parable, see. Now, the elder son, this is where I'm really going with this story today, see. The elder son, he was in the field, see. Now, this elder son, he was righteous. He'd never done anything wrong. See, he was perfect in his ways. He had never disobeyed the father. He had never gone in riotous living and done all these things that this other one did. See, so he was even walking in his father's field and so forth. And when he came near to the house, he heard the dancing and the music and so forth. He called one of the servants in verse 26 and asked him, what is the meaning of all these things? And they said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted cow because he hath received him safe and sound. See, they told him, the reason why we are making merry is because your father said we should rejoice. See, your father said, hey, it's time to rejoice, my son is back. And we are all rejoicing. Now here comes the older brother now, see. And he was angry, verse 28. And he was angry. Why do you think he was angry? Why do you think? I mean, why do you think Jonah was angry and wouldn't go to Nineveh when God sent him? For the same reason.
Because they thought these sinners must be punished. See? They cannot receive the grace of God. See? So here's what he said. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years, I have served you faithfully. I've never done anything wrong. I've been righteous, sir. You know? And you never gave me anything to make merry with my friends. And I've served you faithfully all this time. But as soon as this guy's son, see, he denied him as his brother already. As soon as this guy's son is come back. Now you've given him the father car and all of these things, and you're rewarding him for his sins. See? So you are rewarding him already for all that he did. And he said, so the father, he had to straighten him out. He said, listen to what the father said to him. You know, he said, as soon as this thy son come back, this is what the guy said, who had spent his living with harlots. Evidently, they checked up on the guy when he was down there, you know, his brother checked up on him and so forth, knew all of the evil things that he was doing, you know. How he devoured with harlots and so forth. Well, when they were telling the story, nobody told us he was with harlots. Just said, harlots was living. But this brother, he checked up on him, see. He knew I was doing all of those things and so forth. I said, we'll see about that, you know. And so finally when he came home, the brother was angry. But listen to what the father said to him. In verse 31, and he said to him, Son, thou art always with me, and all that I have is thine. So what's your problem? You know, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother, see, there's nothing you can do about it. He is your brother. How many of you say amen to that? If you have the same parents, then he's your brother. See, God was not father only to the righteous that did not go astray. Amen. He is father also to the son that went astray. And when that son comes back home, he erases it. It's like it never happened. And the older brother, he was there, was like, so you're going to reward him now for all he did. See, what kind of message is that going to send to the rest of us and so forth like that? You know, but the father said, this your brother, he was lost. And he's coming back home. And I am rejoicing. So you better get with the program. Amen. See, the father is the one that's rejoicing. The father was not killing the fatted cow to reward anybody. He was killing it to celebrate. How many of you say praise the Lord? The father is celebrating the return of his son. And that's the story that Jesus told. And it's a wonderful story. And every time I read it, it gives me goosebumps. Even now. See, it brings, you know, emotions rise up within me. You see. And to see, you can see how so far removed the brother was from God's program. You see. God, the compassionate God, the Bible says, turn with me to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. I'm just going to read one verse here in verse 13 of James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 13, he said, For he shall have judgment without mercy who has not showed any mercy. See? You know the story of the the servant in Matthew 18, that God forgive everything, and then he turned around and grabbed the other person by the neck. See? But listen to this last verse, last phrase of James 2:13. And mercy rejoices against judgment. Amen. How many of you know that everything all ends at the mercy seat? The mercy seat. The picture, I don't have time to go into it today. Leviticus 23 chapters and Hebrews chapter 9. And how they discuss all of the things that happen and so forth like that. And all those chapters up in Leviticus there. And at the end, See, when they go from one veil to the other, from one place to the other, at the end, it all ends at the mercy seat. How many of you say amen? I can't hear the amen. Aren't you glad it did not end at the judgment seat? Because if it ends at the judgment seat, there will be none of us here sitting here today. But it ends at the mercy seat. The mercy of God rejoices against and over judgment. The first thing that God said about himself, you've heard me read it many times in Exodus, verse chapter 34. Talk with me real quick. The first thing that God said about himself is that he's a God of mercy. And doesn't mean that he will clear the guilty, but he would rather that you have his mercy. Praise the Lord. And the mercy of the Lord is what sent Jesus to the cross. Exodus 34 and verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And this is what the Lord had to say about himself. The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed. Here is the Lord talking about himself, introducing himself. And the Lord said about himself, he said, I am the Lord God, merciful. That's the first thing he said about himself. Merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands. See, he first of all described his mercy. Now, if you reject the mercy of the Lord, then the severity of God, see, the severity is the one where he says, you know, he will by no means clear the guilty. He will visit the sins of the sons upon, you know, children, fathers, upon the sons, and so forth, the fourth generation. But his mercy is the one that he puts first. He wants us to receive his mercy, you know. So, this story that we read in Luke 15, showing us the mercy of the Lord. Now, why is this story so important on a day like this? Because that's what the death and resurrection of Jesus is all about. Jesus wiping the plate clean, giving us a new start. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says he has taken the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. He has nailed it to the cross. He has taken it all away. He took upon himself our place to receive the punishment for our sins so that we might be set free. Praise the Lord. And the thing that the power of his resurrection does for us is to bring us to the place that we receive his mercy. And because we have received the mercy, we show the mercy also to others. And he said, you know, the power of his resurrection will help us to overcome the sin nature. See, we do not condone sin. See, Jesus never condoned sin, but he never condemned the sinner as long as they repented. See, he would tell them, go and sin no more. See, now we don't condone sin. Many of you have heard me preach about this all the time. You must repent. See, and I've even said that the reason why there's so much lukewarmness is because there's no repentance. People just want to accept Jesus as if that is some magical thing that you do. No, you must repent. And you cannot go back to your old ways. And you have to stay on the path of righteousness. See, that's the way it works. It's the paths of righteousness that lead to the gates of heaven. That's the way it is. Because the first thing about him is the scepter of his throne is the scepter of righteousness. And you cannot be around the throne without righteousness. So we know that. But what happens here is 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. I want you to turn with me and show us how that God has given us, through the power of the resurrection of Jesus, the power over the sin nature. He wants us to completely get rid of that sin nature. See, it's not that every day, you know, we're in sin, then we come back and repent, and then the next day you go back into sin, and you come back and repent, and then the next day you go back. That's not going to work. See, and I'm going to read it to you in a minute here. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that walketh righteousness is righteous. Some people say you can't be righteous. Sure you can. He that walketh righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. But he that committed sin is of the devil. Point blank, he tells you. See, there is no gainsaying about it. If he that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God. And we are coming into that sonship. We are coming into that nature of Christ. You heard me preach about it. When this verse arrives, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Why? Because his seed, that's the nature of Christ, is now in them. Because his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. Because he's born of God. See? In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Now, because we preach mercy and truth and forgiveness and so forth, if you say you're man, well, so that means I can go and do anything, I always come and repent. Well, that shows the seed that you have. It shows you have the seed of the wrong and the evil one. Because the seed of God does not commit sin. The seed of God does not remain in sin. See, or to rejoice and say, oh, you know, I can always go back and do all of these things and always come back and repent. That's not going to work. Because the Bible says he will fix the time. That he will say, let him that is holy be holy still. And let him that is righteous be righteous. And he'll fix it. And you will not be able, see, to cross over. So this is the time to straighten out our lives. But more importantly, this is the time to recognize what God has already done for us through Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read it to us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Now many of us may not know this, but here is it. If you be risen with Christ, see, it says, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Basically, that translation is, since you be risen with Christ. See, and it does say if, but it's really, you know, in as much as you are risen with Christ, then you should seek those things which are above. You know, don't deal with this petty sin nature anymore. See, you should be above that. See, because he's already taken that sin nature. He's finished that sin. Work of righteousness, he has finished it for us. He says, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. See, he's saying that he's talking about being dead to sin. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, because you are risen with Christ, he's telling us, put away all these things, you know, that are upon the earth, these members that are common in your body and so forth, you know, fornication, uncleanness, get it out of there, because you are risen with Christ. How many of you say praise the Lord? Get out all of these things, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness and all these other things, for which things sake the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. So he says, get all these things out, malice, anger, and all of these things. Read the next few verses. See, because you are risen with Christ. So God has delivered us. He wants us completely set free from that sin nature. Blessed be the name of Jesus. John chapter 10. Now, if we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, and every year we come back and celebrate his resurrection and so forth, and the next day we are in sin and so forth, then we are putting Jesus to an open shame. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See, we are not to go back into the sin nature. See, we are to be resurrected with Christ, and we are to be above and not beneath. Let not sin, therefore, reign as king in your mother bodies. John chapter 10. Here's what Jesus has to say. say about himself and about his people. John chapter 10, I am the door, verse 9. And if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out, and he shall find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. See, and the good shepherd giveth his life. And that's what we are celebrating. He gave his life for the sheep. He said, but he that is an hireling, and whose sheep, you know, the sheep don't belong to him. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, when he sees the wolf coming, he leaveth the sheep, see, he fleeth, and so forth. And the wolf will catch them and scatter them. Why does he flee? Because he's a hireling and he's not the good shepherd. But Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am none of mine. And verse 16 says, another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, that they also may hear my voice. See, that's the reason why we do these things. That's the reason why we reach out to those that have not yet heard his voice. Because that's the vision that Jesus had. He said, all that sheep I have that have not yet heard my voice, and I must bring them so that they might hear my voice, and there will be one fold and one shepherd. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, and he tells them, he said, my sheep hear my voice, verse 27, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck anything out of my Father's hand. Jesus said, my sheep shall never perish. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Eternal life is the thing that Jesus has purchased for us. But that eternal life comes with a price. Jesus paid the price, and he wants us on the straight and the narrow way. And if you are walking the straight and narrow way, I'm going to close with this verse for you. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. If you are walking the straight and narrow way, here's what Jesus has to say for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. See, this condemnation is for people who are in Christ Jesus and they are not walking after the flesh. See, they are not going after the ways of the world. See, but they are walking after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Jesus has delivered us from the law of sin and death. We should be no longer under sin. We are now set free. Blessed be the name of Jesus. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In chapter 14, verse 14 of that chapter. And this thing that Jesus has done, he has done it not only for one, he has done it for all. For as many as we receive him. See? And when he has finished the work, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. From henceforth expecting till all his enemies be made his footstool. And Jesus, you know, he's looking and waiting, see, for every one of us to come and sit with him in his throne. Because he said, he that overcometh, we preached about that 2 weeks ago, shall inherit all things. And he will sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and I sat with him in his throne. And remember, the son that went away, the prodigal son that went away, when he came back, he got the ring in his hand just as if he never went away. See, and the older brother said, well, gee, he already went away into sinery. See, so he doesn't deserve that ring in his finger anymore. See, but Jesus said, see, and to every one of you here, he said, I will grant you to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame. I am set with his Father in his room. I mean, how would you think if Jesus would say something like this? Well, because you all fall into sin, even though you repented and you came back, you cannot sit with me in my throne, see, because you don't deserve it. See? Sure, we didn't deserve it, but the Bible says it was granted unto her that she should be arrayed with fine linen. which is the righteousness of the saints.
It was granted. Not she didn't deserve it,
but it was granted. Blessed be the name of Jesus. How many of you say praise the Lord?
And that which God has purchased for us, He has purchased, is standing the liberty
that God has made you free. Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Today, we are rejoicing in the victory. We are rejoicing in what God has done for us. That Jesus not only went to the grave, but the power of hell and death could not hold him down. He blasted out of that grave, and he is risen. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Let's stand to our feet this morning. He is risen this morning. And we are risen with him. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are risen with him this morning. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to read while you are standing from verse 31 of Romans chapter 8. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That's Romans chapter 8 and verse 33. It is God that justifies. How many of you are happy that God justified you? Oh yes. Justified in the name of the Lord. Left to me and left to somebody else and left to another person. Maybe you wouldn't be justified. See, but God, he has justified you. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God making intercession for us? And who shall separate us from this love of Christ? Shall tribulation? The only thing that will separate you is the sin nature. You notice that he didn't mention sin here. The sin nature will separate you from the love of Christ. But if you can bury that sin nature and live in the righteousness of the Spirit of God, see, then who shall separate you from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? See, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. This is the power of his resurrection. He has lifted us above all of these things. He has lifted us above tribulations, distress, persecutions, famine, nakedness, and the putting forth of the finger, and all of these things. He has lifted us above it. Jesus has given us mercy, and he has cleansed us, and we rejoice in his goodness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Say, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height nor any of these things can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning. Because the love of God in Christ Jesus is so rich. He paid the price. He finished it. He went to the grave. He purchased our redemption. And he, Bible says, by one offering, the offering of himself, he perfected forever them that are sanctified. He has perfected us, and we are coming into view. We are going to be like Christ. Because the Bible says, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestine, that they should be conformed to the image of his son. So we are coming into that image, whether the devil likes it or somebody else doesn't like it, we are coming into the image of God. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I thank the Lord and I praise him for what he did on my behalf. I want everybody to lift up your hands and bless him for what he did for him. He went to the cross on your behalf. If you were the only one, he still would have done it. See, and he went to the cross today. You know, we are celebrating it. See, he went to the cross. He blasted out of that grave. And he is risen. Oh, and he is not some baby in a manger anymore. Boy, did he ever whoop that devil. All over town he did. And he got the keys of hell and death on him. The very thing that devil thought he had, he stripped him out of it. Now Jesus, he gave us the victory. Walk therefore in the liberty wherewith God has set you free.
and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. We're going to break bread in a few minutes to commemorate that which Jesus did for us. And everything that Jesus did, He did for us. He gave up everything. Ye yourselves know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that though He was rich, yet for your sakes, the Bible said, He became poor. So that we might inherit the riches of God. You also know how that Christ died, so that we might live. Amen. The life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Jesus died, but He wants you to live for Him. Every moment of your life, He wants you to live for Him. And Jesus' body was broken for us, so that we might be one. See, the opposite. See, He broke His own body, so that the body of Christ might be together. See, that's the way it works. He became poor, so that we might be rich. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And I want you, Lord, I want everybody to give Him thanks this morning. What He did for us is so great. Because God has done, written us up. He would have written us up for Jesus. See, the Bible says God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son. The devil thought he won that battle when he got Adam to fall and to go against the word of God. But the Bible said the seed of the woman is coming to bring redemption. And He came and He brought redemption, and we are rejoicing in that liberty today. Blessed be the name of Jesus. This is the price that Jesus paid on your behalf, and nobody can take it from you. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Jesus did it. He finished it. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world given, but I give this peace unto you. And the world cannot take it from you. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you're going through. Today, as we celebrate His resurrection, oh, lift up your head, O ye gates, and let a King of glory come into your life. But you must lift up your head. Don't let your head be bowed down in bulrushes and so forth like that. You must lift up your head. The Bible says, O captive daughter of Zion, loose thyself from the bands around thy neck. Shake thyself from the doors. Arise and shine, and the glory of the Lord is upon you. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Christ. Hallelujah. I love that. I love to say it that way. The glory of the Christ is upon you. Therefore, arise and shine. Praise ye the name of Jesus. 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 Let's say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done. We thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done. We thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done. We thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. The Bible says a lamb for an house. We've done this before, and I feel the Spirit of God moving me this way to do this again today. I want every family, as we break this bread, see, we're going to do this. Every family, we're going to be in companies, see. Each family will be over here, and one family over here, and everybody. And if you are here single, or your family is not here this morning, well, we'll form a group, and I'll join, see. And then we will pray, because the Bible says a lamb for a house. And I want every head of family who pray for their parents. See? And you pray. See? Because the Bible says, if the good man of the house would have watched in the spirit, then his house would not have been broken up. See, it's your responsibility. See? And let the women also pray. See? And let the children, everybody pray. We're going to do that in a few minutes. But now we're going to break the bread. I want you to be seated. This bread symbolizes the body of Christ that was broken for us. It's not a ritual. But Jesus said, and as often as you do it, you do show the Lord's death. But today, we are showing forth His resurrection. Praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord? Not only His death, but also His resurrection. His death reminds us that we ourselves are crucified with Christ. The sin nature is buried. And we need no longer be under sin. We should have the new life in Christ. And that's the power of His resurrection, able to transform us from the kingdom of darkness, able to remove that sin nature and keep us in the nature of Christ. That's what the power of His resurrection does for us. And it is able to cleanse you not only from all your sins, but to give you a heart that is after God, so that we don't go back to those things. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the bread that was broken, symbolizing the body of Christ. We thank you because you went to the grave today. See, you went to the grave many years ago, and today we are celebrating your resurrection. You blasted out of that grave, and it couldn't hold you down. And the Bible says, delivered for our offenses, but risen again for our justification. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Inasmuch as Jesus rose from the dead, and inasmuch as you, every one of you that have believed in the name of the Lord, inasmuch as you are risen with Christ, today, set your affection on things that are above, and not on things below. Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Brian Manor, come and help me with this. Let's break the bread.